Tuesday evening, April 8th, 1969. Cambridge, Massachusetts. The home of Nathan M. Pusey, president of Harvard.
500 people have come in here demanding on Pusey that he abolish ROTC. He's not out here to look at us, but he sent 3, 4, 5 cops out here to protect him.
Tack up the petition.
With what? With what?
Yeah. Anybody got any tax?
We got it.
These are members of Students for a Democratic Society, SDS. They demand an end to reserve officer training on the Harvard campus and an end to Harvard expansion into surrounding neighborhoods in Cambridge. This is the beginning of a crisis at Harvard, and this is the battle cry. It had happened at other places, Columbia, San Francisco State, years ago at Berkeley. But some had said confidently that it could never happen at Harvard. Harvard, with its long history of deliberation and calm reason, not at Harvard. Harvard had a record of close relationship between students and faculty. There was communication. Harvard, says her alma mater, fair Harvard. Calm, rising through change and through storm.
There's no doubt that there's at least 340 people here who would like to sit in at some time or other. And I think, you know, I think if we look back, the split fall, you know, there's one real difficulty in the split. 140 people, or I guess it's 160 people now, want to go tonight. And from what I've been communicated to by many of them, that their main concern is that if we don't go tonight, we'll never go. And that's a real concern. I think that's a vital concern. Now, 180 people say, yes, we want to go. But there's a couple other things we want done first. For instance, many of us know of a lot of individuals on this campus who said that we don't really want SDS to sit in, but if SDS does sit in, we will sit in too. And we want to give those people the opportunity to make that choice. Basically, what I'm suggesting is the only reason for a postponement, you know, pushing it off to Monday may actually enact something where we don't ever go. And I don't think that's something that any of the 340 people here want. So what I'm trying to propose is that we make a definite decision now to adjourn this meeting, but to reform this meeting at 10 o'clock someplace tomorrow, in other words, exactly 24 hours, or I guess slightly less than that, to give people on the campus, to give us an opportunity to talk to other people on the campus and to give other people on the campus an opportunity to decide whether or not they will join with us.
A meeting of the Students for a Democratic Society before the list of demands was carried to President Pusey. The object of the meeting, as it was at a long list of other colleges, a confrontation with the establishment. In this case, the Harvard Corporation. But the purpose of the confrontation, as at other colleges, was not just to challenge authority, but to win support from moderate students, to radicalize Harvard. The events at Harvard were to follow the scenario of Columbia and San Francisco State and the others. Demands by a small group of campus radicals, and then a sit-in, a takeover of a university building, and then the confrontation. At Harvard, the target is the main administration building, University Hall. At noon, Wednesday, April 9th, the radicals move in, ejecting 8 deans, some physically, from their offices. One of them, Dean F. Skiddy von Stoddy, Jr., a bewildered, sad man.
Sure, this is a very sad day for Harvard when some of its students act like this.
What exactly was going on in there?
They tried to urge us to leave. We said that we were going to stay in our own offices, and then we were physically heaved out.
Dean Ford told us just a few minutes ago that he personally was willing to stay and talk, but he said they didn't seem to want to talk about the issues.
No, you can't get any word but genocide out of them, and that's not the issue as far as I see it right here in Harvard College.
Was there any violence, fighting of any kind inside?
I didn't see any punches thrown, but we were all physically thrown out, all of us. Yeah.
What is the issue as far as you're concerned, if it isn't genocide?
The issue is doing things in a rational rather than an irrational way.
Do you know if has there been any plans for any meeting of the administrative board or any agency of the university to discuss tactics as what to do about the sit-in? Or, I mean, the takeover?
I would assume that there will be meetings, but I don't know when.
But nothing's been scheduled yet.
Not to my knowledge, no.
Yeah, Dean Ford said he would be willing to stay there all night and talk, but he said nobody wanted to talk. Was that your impression, too?
Sidney, none of the people I saw wanted to talk. They just wanted to yell at me.
They were talking about negotiating demands and stuff like that.
There was no negotiation with me. I guess I'm too much small fry. They were just yelling.
Yeah, well, Dean Ford said that you weren't the right people to talk to anyway, that the University Hall wasn't the right place to come to handle some of these demands that they were making.
Well, I think that's probably true. After all, we only represent one faculty on this campus. There are many others, even involved with ROTC.
Well, I think he was talking about the corporation and some of the rent decisions and, business decisions for the university.
Yeah, the corporation owns the university.
The deans don't make those decisions.
We don't make any decisions about the university's property. No. It's the oldest corporation in the United States. 1650.
But you would say that this is very, very serious.
I think any time anybody lays a hand on an officer of the university, let alone a number of officers at the university, it's damn serious. Yes.
Do you have any suggestions, sir, on how you talk to the corporation?
I don't often talk to the corporation.
Well, we generally never talk, and since you seem to be the people, even if you don't make the decisions, who are at least the most prominent administrators in our lives, it would seem to be that you would be the people to come to first.
Well, it seems to me we've been talking fairly successfully for the last 2 or 3 years. This is the first time it seems that conversation is no longer of any use.
With the deans thrown out, the doors chained, then later opened, and University Hall theirs, the Harvard radicals wait for the next act in their drama. Wednesday afternoon, on the steps of Widener Library, Dean of the Faculty, Franklin L. Ford.
In my capacity as Dean of the Faculty of Arts and Sciences, I should like to read a brief announcement. As all of you know, University Hall has been occupied by a self-constituted protest group since shortly after noon today. Several of its occupants were forcibly ejected from their offices and from the building, while others left either voluntarily or under threat.
Shut up.
The last of us to leave, Dean Glimp of the college, Dean Elder of the graduate school, and I, made our exit at approximately 12:45. We did so only after I had formally warned the intruders that they were both interfering with the work of this faculty and violating the personal rights of all the men and women who had been forced out of their offices. We also, before leaving, asked several apparent spokesmen for the group what it was they wished to discuss, to which the reply was nothing. This afternoon, there have been emergency meetings of the Administrative Board of Harvard College with officers of Radcliffe College present, of the Masters of the Houses, and of the President's Executive Council, which comprises, among others, the deans of the several faculties and President Bunning. On the basis of these deliberations, I have now to make several announcements. One, although we are aware that many of those now assembled here do not support the seizure of University Hall, it seems best at this time, in order to minimize the risk of any spread of violence, to close the yard until further notice. Until they wish to do so. At 4:30, however, All gates will be locked, save the one on Quincy Street, by Lamont Library, opposite the Freshman Union. 3. Anyone now in the yard who leaves it after 4:30 will find that gate guarded but available for egress. 4. In addition, freshmen returning from the Union after meal will be allowed to re-enter by the same gate upon showing proper identification. 5. Finally, I must repeat in the most formal terms the injunction to all persons now in University Hall to depart therefrom so that the building may be restored to its proper uses. Anyone failing to observe this warning within 15 minutes will be subject to prosecution for criminal trespass. That beginning at 5 o'clock, there will be an open meeting for any people here or not here who know of it in Lowell Lecture Hall to discuss the issues of this occupation. Dean Elder and I at least will be there, and I'm sure that there will be others involved who will join this discussion. At 5 o'clock, Lowell Lecture Hall.
The ultimatum delivered. University and radicals now in direct confrontation. At the SDS meeting Thursday night, SDS member Mike Schwartz has words for Harvard in general and President Pusey in particular.
So this stuff that Pusey's putting out is just all lies.
Well, if it is all lies, why is he putting it out? I mean, you seem, from what you say, it just is blatantly untrue and completely contrary to fact. Why would he write that?
Well, I think the reason he wants to write that is this, is that Pusey now knows that not only do we are we willing to take action and fight back against him in order to beat him, but he also knows that the large majority of the students are on our side, that they're willing to stand with us in this, that they support our demands. And the reason that he's doing this is he's trying to use the media and the press who are on his side to convince people that we're wrong, to try to convince them that we're wrong. He's willing to lie to do that in order to get to get our support, to stop supporting us so that he can come in here and take us all out. That's why he's trying to do it, and he's willing to lie to do that. He's done it before, and he'll do it again.
The lines are drawn. SDS holds University Hall. The university has told them to leave. Night comes, and so does the time for waiting. Reporter for Harvard student radio station WHRB, Chris Wallace, broadcasts from the occupied building.
The carnival atmosphere inside University Hall has changed since our last report. If only for a few moments, the group who has taken over this main administration building on the Harvard campus has had to face once again the issue of a bust. Chairman of the meeting inside the main faculty room, Richard Hyland, restated the tactics that have been agreed upon early this afternoon, that in the case of a police charge, the tactics of opposition to the police should be nonviolent but obstructionist. In effect, that the protesters will not oppose police violently, but will link arms and in other ways seek to obstruct police actions. Then several motions were agreed upon by the protesters in the faculty room here in University Hall. One was that in case of a police charge, that the protesters would mass on the first floor, not on the second floor, where they have been so far most of the evening, so that they wouldn't have to risk getting pulled down the concrete steps. In addition, they agreed, there was talk about lawyers. Apparently, the four lawyers have agreed to represent the protesters after, or in the event, we should say more correctly, that they are arrested and brought to jail. Those include, as a matter of fact, one John Flynn, who was John Sisson's lawyer. Sisson is the man you may remember who was acquitted by Chief Judge Charles Wazanski from a draft charge because he was a conscientious objector with moral, not religious, reasons. Well, another one of the issues that was agreed upon, well, at least that was brought up, was the question of the possibility of obstructing paddy wagons in the event that paddy wagons are brought upon the Harvard Yard. And arrangements were made that the protesters sleeping tonight in Mem Church be brought over, in case of a bust, to University Hall, which is not very far away, probably 10 or 15 yards, to block the stairs for the police, from the police, and to surround the entire building. Then the meeting broke up, and it was agreed that the many rooms of the second, third, and fourth floors of University Hall will be used for sleeping, and that the people who want to talk will stay on the first floor. After that, a number of students went out onto the four entry stairways of University Hall to practice obstruction techniques on the stairs, and it was then that the most telling evidence of all came that the mood around here has changed in the last hour. A police car slowly crawled through Harvard Yard, and the sight of it shook many of the protesters who just a moment before had been so calmly practicing obstruction techniques. The moment of panic was just that, a moment, but it showed that as the night wears on here at University Hall, the feeling of easy friendliness and even blithe spirits has been transformed to an atmosphere of fatigue and possibly nervousness. We here at our WHRB outpost in University Hall will be up all night and will, of course, resume coverage of the takeover of this Harvard administration building as events warrant. This is Chris Wallace, WHRB News in University Hall.